right, Jimmy. Time to go to bed.
Do I have to? I just know Santa's gonna be here soon.
Want to spot him from the window?
You bet. I bet he's gotta be getting close to our house.
Sweetheart, you know that Santa won't come until you're asleep.
That's fine for other years, Mom. But I need some face-to-face time with him this year to explain a few things.
It's Christmas Eve, dear. It's too late to undo the naughty things you did this year.
That's right, sport. Santa knows all about them.
But they weren't that bad. Besides, Min's hair grew back and everything.
Meow!
I don't want to get an old lump of coal in my stocking.
Something tells me you're going to be all right, son.
Now, come on. Off to bed, or Santa isn't going to come at all.
Okay, Mom. Oh, what about the cookies I made for him? And the milk?
I'm sure he'll love them. I'll just set them down right here by the radio.
Okay. Good night, Mom. Good night, Dad.
Good night, son. We'd better get to bed too, dear.
Oh, my back. Those chimneys seem to get smaller every year. Now, let me see. Ah, yes, the Douglas house and little Jimmy. Let's check the list. I'm sure there was something I was supposed to remember.
Meow.
Oh, that's right. Thank you, Mittens. One lump of coal coming right. What's this? Milk and cookies? Well, don't mind if I do. There's a note. Dear Santa, you know what these are for. Love, Jimmy. Well, the cat's hair did grow back.
Meow.
I think there might be a new bicycle in here for Jimmy after all. There we are. And now, back up to the sleigh and... Well, bless my soul. I don't think this has ever happened. I'm actually ahead of schedule. I'll have to feed the reindeer Wheaties every Christmas from now on. Why, by my watch, I have nearly an hour before I need to hit the sky again. Say, that radio and that easy chair look promising. I wonder if anything good is on.
Colgate Dental Cream, to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair, bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. Well, the holiday season is practically with us. To our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, it means more than just a respite from the rigors of a difficult school term.
Yes, it means that I'll get a chance to relax and observe the change that takes place in people as Christmas approaches. It's almost visible. The spirit of camaraderie and warm, good fellowship which flows between us like a bountiful stream. I only hope that this season our beloved principal, Mr. Osgood Conklin, will get a little bit on him. I was talking about his temper to my landlady last Friday morning at breakfast. I can't understand it, Mrs. Davis. Everything I do lately seems to rub Mr. Conklin the wrong way.
What do you mean, Connie?
Well, take yesterday, for instance. I was in his office when I saw his lighted cigar lying on the rug unnoticed. Well, naturally, I stooped over and picked it up. Wouldn't you?
Well, I gave up smoking a long time ago.
I didn't want the office to catch on fire, Mrs. Davis, so I merely put the cigar in an ashtray. You might not believe this, but he was furious.
Because you put his cigar back in the ashtray?
Well, it wasn't exactly an ashtray. I guess I should have noticed that it was an inkwell.
Oh. And when you put his cigar in the inkwell, it went out.
That's not the end I put in the inkwell. 3 puffs later, Mr. Conklin could have won first prize in the chow dog contest. He's so unreasonable. You'd think having a blue tongue was a crime.
Maybe it was the taste of the ink he objected to. He's always been a finicky eater anyway. Forget about Mr. Conklin, Connie. Just stay out of his way as much as possible.
Believe me, I'll do my best, Mrs. Davis. Say, that's quite a bunch of mail you've got out there. Is it all for you?
Mail? Oh, this isn't incoming mail, Connie. These are the letters I picked up from all the kids in the neighborhood. You see, Bush's department store has a contest each year in which the child who writes the best letter to Santa Claus gets his choice of anything in the toy department.
Oh, and you're Santa's helper.
I shop there anyway, so I just drop them off for the kids. They write such cute letters, some of them. Reminds me of the one you wrote to Santa when you were 7 years old.
Me? Where did you see that, Mrs. Davis?
Oh, forgive me, Connie, but I've got it right here. I took it out of your old album. You know, the scrapbook with the souvenirs in it. You had it out last night, remember?
Oh, that's right. I thought I might run across some souvenir money in it. Let's see the letter, Mrs. Davis.
Here you are, dear. Read it out loud. I get such a kick out of it.
All right. It says, Dear Sandy Claus.
Look at the spelling. S-A-N-D-Y-C-L-A-W-S-S. That's nice. One S for each claw.
Read on, dear.
I don't want you to bring me very much toys at all, because then you would not have enough for all the other little children.
Wasn't I a doll?
Please, Sandy, just bring me a slate with some chalk and a eraser and some crayons and a ruler on account when I grow up, I want to be a English teacher. Signed, Connie Brooks, age 7.
Isn't that touching, Mrs. Davis? Even at the tender age of 7, I was already planning my future. Poverty.
You knew what you wanted, all right. Now I'll just set these letters on the sideboard and pour us some coffee. Here's your cup, Connie.
Thanks, Mrs. Davis. I better hurry. Walter Denton is picking me up this morning. Can we give you a lift?
No, thank you. I'm going over to Bush's department store. They have a contest each year in which a child who writes the best letter to Santa Claus...
His choice of anything in the toy department.
How did you know, Connie?
You just told me, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, so I did. Now, where in the world did I put those letters?
Walter, it seems to have quite an air about it this morning.
Oh, it's nothing but your own aromatic presence, Miss Brooks.
Thanks, Walter, but that's not what I mean. Oh, wait a minute. Here's a cigar on the seat between us.
Oh, it's probably dropped out of my dad's pocket. I drove him to work this morning.
Say, do you mind if I keep it? It might make a nice good morning gesture to Mr. Conklin.
Oh,
I can use one at this point.
Oh, sure. My dad's got a pocket full of cigars. But what's wrong with you and old Marblehead, Mr. Conklin? Are you in the doghouse, Miss Brooks?
Where I am shouldn't happen to a dog, Walter. But maybe this little peace offering will help. Ooh, it smells awfully sweet for a cigar.
Oh, it isn't the cigar that has that sweet smell, Miss Brooks. That's Miss Enright.
Where is she sitting in the glove compartment?
No, I just dropped her off at the beauty parlor. She was wearing a new perfume. She said it was called Voodoo. Kind of clings to the upholstery, doesn't it?
Just like Miss Enright. Oh, I'm sorry, Walter. I shouldn't speak that way about another member of the faculty. Forget I said anything.
Oh, sure. I know there's no love lost between you two. Although Miss Enright did pay you a rather nice compliment this morning.
She did?
Yes, ma'am. She said she thought it was wonderful how you taught English.
Miss Enright said that?
Just before she went into the beauty parlor. She said that anybody who could teach a language to so many kids for such a long time, in spite of her obvious difficulty in speaking that language, should get a medal.
Maybe the dryer will fall on her. Did she say why she was going to the beauty parlor so early in the morning?
Yeah, come to think of it, she did. She said she was going out with Mr. Boynton after school.
But today's Friday, the day Mr. Boynton usually takes me to the zoo.
Well, it's also a special occasion for Miss Enright. It's her birthday. And you know something, Miss Brooks? She came right out and told me her age.
How old did she say she was, Walter?
27. I guess that's why Mr. Boynton has to take her out today instead of you.
I still don't see what Miss Enright's birthday has to do with it. He didn't take her out last year when she was 27, or the year before when she was 28.
Miss Brooks, I seem to detect the presence of the Green Eye Monster in this vehicle.
She can't possibly be back from the beauty parlor yet. It just makes me mad, Walter, the way some women try to keep their ages hidden. Why, if anybody wanted to make it their business, they could find out my age in a minute.
How old are you, Miss Brooks?
None of your business.
There's Mr. Conklin going into the house, Miss Brooks. Now's your chance to stop him and give him that cigar.
Right, Walter. See you in class. Oh, good morning, Mr. Conklin.
Good morning, Miss Brooks.
Have a cigar?
Cigar?
Yes, sir. I just happened to have it on me. That is, a gentleman friend left it in my compact. Here, it's brand new. No ink on it.
Thank you, Miss Brooks. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll withdraw to the safety of my office while I'm still ahead.
Yes, sir. Goodbye, Mr. Conklin.
Goodbye.
Good morning, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Miss Enright. Walter Denton tells me that today's your birthday.
Why, yes, darling, it is.
Happy birthday.
I shall bask in the warmth of that greeting all day.
Well, I'm sorry, Miss Enright, but I don't think it's fair of you to make Mr. Boynton break a date with me just because it's your birthday.
Oh, I didn't make him do anything, Miss Brooks. It's obviously a matter of preference. Put down a brightly colored, pretty silk scarf and an old gray shoe, and even a baby will reach for the scarf.
Are you calling me an old gray shoe?
Well, if it fits, darling, slip it on.
Now look, Miss Enright, I don't want to be rude to you. On this of all days, especially since I realize that your birthday is one holiday which has been celebrated in this neighborhood for countless generations.
That's very cooperative, my dear. But if the zoo wants you badly enough, they'll come and get you. Now, you really must excuse me. I've got to find Walter Denton's car. I left a cigar in the front seat this morning.
Oh, was that your cigar? I thought you smoked a pipe.
It's for Mr. Boynton. He's just a big overgrown boy when it comes to practical jokes, you know. So I bought that cigar for him in the magic shop.
In the magic shop?
Yes, it's an exploding cigar. Not dangerous, of course, just full of soot.
Oh, no. Excuse me, Miss Enright, but I've got to get back to Mr. Conklin's office right away. Mr. Conklin, about that cigar I gave you, sir.
Yes, Miss Brooks?
Oh, Mr. Conklin, are you all right?
Why, yes. Yes, Miss Brooks, I'm just dandy. But there's soot all over my face. What do you suggest I do about that?
What can you do, Mr. Conklin? Get down on one knee and sing April Showers?
Our Miss Brooks will continue in just a moment. But first, here is Vern Smith.
Now proof that brushing right after eating with Colgate Dental Cream helps stop tooth decay before it starts. Continuous research, hundreds of case histories, makes this the most conclusive proof in all dentifrice research on tooth decay. Eminent dental authorities supervised hundreds of college men and women for over 2 years. One group always brushed their teeth with Colgate right after eating. Modern research shows decay is caused by mouth acids, which are at their worst right after eating. Brushing teeth with Colgate, as directed, helps remove acids before they harm enamel. Remember, always use Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay.
Well, I finally convinced Mr. Conklin that the cigar episode should be included in my list of unpremeditated crimes. Then when lunch period dragged itself around, I hastened to the cafeteria to see if Miss Enright was with Mr. Boynton. She wasn't. So in 4 seconds flat, I was. I waited all during lunch for him to break our date for that afternoon. but he remained strangely silent. So while we were drinking our coffee, I summoned all my feminine wiles and subtly remarked,
"Is I is or is I ain't your baby?"
What did you say, Miss Brooks?
Oh, nothing, Mr. Boynton. Here's a napkin. It's just that I get a distinct feeling of guilt emanating from your side of the table.
Guilt? What makes you say that?
You paid for my coffee.
All right, you can pay for mine next time.
I paid for yours last time. We're even. But today is Friday, Mr. Boynton. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And we usually go to the zoo on Friday. Isn't that so?
Yes, that's so.
Well?
Well, what?
Is I is or is I ain't your baby?
If you mean, am I keeping our engagement, Miss Brooks? Well, a funny thing happened this morning.
On your way to the rabbit's cage?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was in my lab when it happened. I remembered an appointment I made for this afternoon with somebody else.
Namely?
My grandmother. That's it. My grandmother came into town unexpectedly this morning, and I promised to take her out for the day. She's rather helpless, you see, because, well, she's quite far along in years.
You're not just clapping your crockery, Doc. It so happens, Mr. Boynton, that I know your grandmother.
You do?
Yes, she's 27 years old, and she teaches math at Madison High School.
Miss Brooks, I've decided that rather than stoop to deception, I'd better be honest about this thing. What I told you just now about my grandmother, it isn't true.
No.
No, I made a date with Miss Enright for today, but only because it's her birthday, Miss Brooks. She told me her folks were living in another part of the country.
My folks live in another part of the country.
And Miss Enright also said she didn't have too many friends.
I don't have too many friends.
I'm sorry, Miss Brooks. I just didn't want your feelings to be hurt.
Oh, don't worry about my feelings, Mr. Boynton. I've sent away for a plastic set.
Hi, Miss Brooks, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, hello, Harriet.
How are you, Harriet? Would you care to sit down? There's plenty of room at this table.
Oh, thanks just the same, Mr. Boynton, but I've got to take this container of coffee to Daddy.
Oh, is your father lunching in his office, Harriet?
Yes, he says he's too embarrassed to eat in public today. There seems to be something on his neck he can't get off.
Oh, the Board of Education.
It's some black stuff. He didn't want to talk about it too much.
Oh, here, Harriet, let me take that coffee down to him.
Oh, but I don't mind.
It's the least I can do. You sit here and chat with Mr. Boynton, dear. He's very good company today.
Loaded with stories.
Well, all right, Miss Brooks, if you say so. Here's the coffee and here's some extra sugar. Daddy likes it plenty sweet.
Thanks, Harriet.
I'll see you later. Won't I, Miss Brooks?
As we both get older, you mean?
Please drop into my lab after school. Maybe we can work something out. Perhaps we can all have a date together.
Fine, I'll bring my grandfather for Miss Enright.
I'm in.
I met your daughter in the cafeteria, Mr. Conklin, and she gave me this coffee to bring you.
What happened to her? Pull up lame?
Well, as a matter of fact, sir, I wanted to sort of atone for some of my earlier transgressions.
Well, don't stand there. Pour some coffee in a cup for me, please.
Yes, sir. I'll just get this cover off. It's on pretty tight.
Well, I hope it's hot. If there's anything I can't stand, it's cool coffee.
Oh, I'm sure it's piping hot, Mr. Conklin. I can tell by the way the container feels. This lid is so...
Let me help you with that.
Oh, no, it's... Oh!
It is piping hot, isn't it? Observe the steam rising from my trousers right here. Miss Brooks, yesterday you dipped my cigar in the inkwell. This morning you gave me one that exploded in my face. And now, thanks to you again, a container of hot coffee is running down my leg. Now don't just stand there, Miss Brooks. What have you to say for yourself?
Is it sweet enough, Mr. Conklin?
If it isn't, Miss Brooks, come in. I said come in!
You are Osgood Conklin?
I am.
Well, no doubt you've heard of Bush Department Store.
I have.
Well, I'm Bush.
I'm a little pooped myself. Sit down.
I'll be brief, Mr. Conklin. Each year, my store gives away contest prizes to children who write the best letters to Santa Claus. We like to choose some prominent citizens in our community to play Santa for this occasion, hence my visit here.
My dear Mr. Bush, if you're suggesting that I involve myself in the squalling clamor of hundreds of children in a department store, put it out of your mind.
But, Mr. Conklin, I...
You have no way of knowing this, of course, but I am a man of extremely high blood pressure and acute hypertension. Playing Santa to a band of yowling brats is out of the question.
But I've invited all the photographers and reporters, Mr. Conklin. You'll get at least a two-column picture in every paper.
I'm sorry, it's absolutely unthinkable for me to... two-column picture?
Of course. You see, we've picked the winning letter, and you're the ideal choice to present the grand prize this afternoon.
Why me?
Because you're a school principal. The contest winner's a little 7-year-old girl who wants to be a teacher when she grows up.
A teacher? Well, I guess I can arrange it. I'd hate to disappoint a child, especially this obviously backward little tyke. What time shall I be there, Mr. Bush?
4 o'clock sharp, please. And thank you so much for accepting our invitation.
You're welcome, I'm sure. Now, if you'll excuse me, sir, I must inspect some new gym equipment that just arrived.
Of course, Mr. Conklin. Before I leave your office, may I use the phone?
Certainly, right there on my desk. See you at 4, Mr. Bush.
All right, thank you. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Hello, Mrs. Davis speaking.
Oh, this is Mr. Bush of Bush's department store. My secretary gave me your phone number, Mrs. Davis, and told me what a grand job you've done of rounding up the children's letters in our letter to Santa contest.
I was glad to help, Mr. Bush.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Davis. Now, there's just one bit of information I need. Do you know where Connie Brooks lives?
Connie Brooks? Certainly. She lives right here with me.
Well, that's a coincidence. Can I speak with her?
Not now. She's in school.
Oh, of course. It's not 3 o'clock yet.
As a matter of fact, I was just getting ready to pick her up. One of the students in school usually takes her home, but he's busy today.
I see. Well, Mrs. Davis, you can do me a great favor. Instead of taking her home today, bring Connie right over to our store.
What for?
You'll see. What kind of toys does she favor, Mrs. Davis?
Toys? Connie doesn't play with toys.
Oh, the serious type, eh? Well, bring her over as early as you can, Mrs. Davis, so I can get acquainted with her. She'll probably warm up a bit after a nice romp in the sandpile. Now, remember, Mrs. Davis, don't tell her why she's coming to the store. I'd like it to be a surprise.
Oh, it'll be a surprise, all right.
Tell me what we're doing in Bush's department store, Mrs. Davis. I haven't enough money left to buy a Christmas seal, let alone do any shopping.
Be patient, Connie. We'll find out as soon as I can locate Mr. Bush. I know. Let's cut out for the sand pile. It's right over there in the toy department.
All right. Oh, look, there's Mr. Boynton.
Oh, hello, Miss Brooks, Mrs. Davis.
Hello, Mr. Boynton. Excuse me just a moment, won't you? I'll go on ahead, Connie, and find Mr. Bush.
Fine, Mrs. Davis. Well, Mr. Boynton, doing a little last-minute Christmas shopping.
No, not exactly, Miss Brooks. Miss Enright asked me to come over here right after school. She's crazy about children, she says, and they're having some sort of contest here today.
Oh, where is she now?
No, she's in the hardware department picking up a new roaster. She says next to children, she likes nothing better than cooking and housework.
I bet she's terribly decent to animals, too.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you at school, but Miss Enright insisted we leave at once. After all, it is her...
Her birthday today. I know, Mr. Boynton. I had a hunch you two would wind up alone.
No, we're only going to a movie, Miss Brooks. Donald O'Connor and Francis just opened at the State. It's the story of an army mule.
Oh, that's where you're taking Miss Enright.
That's right.
What are you trying to do, start your own mule train?
I just got the most charming pot, darling. You've acquired one of your own, haven't you?
Hello, Prudence. Cooked any interesting children lately?
Please, ladies, please. Let's get over to the toy department. They're getting ready for the ceremonies. The spotlight was just turned on the platform.
Oh, fine, Mr. Boynton. I just adore toys.
Oh, why don't you act your age?
Come along, Miss Brooks. I see Mrs. Davis right in the front row.
Attention, attention. Quiet, please, children. Quiet, quiet. Here, without further ado, is your old friend Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, kiddies!
Why, that's Mr. Conklin!
Is it really?
Ho, ho, ho!
Of course, I'd recognize that bloodthirsty cheerfulness anywhere.
Here you are, Santa. Here's the prize-winning letter in the contest. Now suppose you read it out loud and we'll surprise the author, who I know is among those listening.
Surely. It says, Dear Sandy Claus, spelled C-L-A-W-S-S.
Oh, that's nice. One S for each paw.
I don't want you to bring me very much toys at all, 'cause then you would not have enough for all the other little children.
Isn't she a doll? Oh, wait a minute. This sounds awfully familiar.
Please, Sandy, just bring me a slate with some chalk and a eraser and some crayons and a ruler, 'cause when I grow up, I want to be a English teacher.
Oh, no.
Signed, Connie Brooks, age 7. Now, if this little girl will step up, Connie Brooks!
Age 7.
You sound like you know this girl, Mr. Conklin. And now let's get her up on the platform. Where are you, honey?
Yoo-hoo, Mr. Bush. Down here. I'm Mrs. Davis.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Davis.
The girl you're looking for is standing right here beside me.
What? Who are you?
I'm Connie Brooks, age 7.
Miss Brooks! What's the meaning of this?
Yes, what is this hoax?
Oh, there was no hoax intended, gentlemen. Mrs. Davis must have absent-mindedly put my letter in with the other kids. When I wrote that letter, I was actually 7 years old.
You were never that young, darling.
Oh, this is terrible. The press and the photographers will be here any minute. Give me that bag of toys, Mr. Conklin. This girl gets nothing.
Now, hold on there, Mr. Bush. The contest rules clearly state that the winner must be a child. If Miss Brooks was 7 years old when she wrote that letter, she's entitled to take home anything she wants from the toy department.
I think you've got something there, Mr. Boynton.
Now, this is terribly embarrassing. Miss Brooks, if you'll just leave before the press arrives, you may have anything in the toy department you desire. What do you want?
Mr. Bush, this is Mr. Boynton. Wrap him up.
Show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a Luster Cream shampoo. No other shampoo in the world gives such a magic blend of secret ingredients, plus gentle lanolin. Not a soap, not a liquid. Luster Cream shampoo leaves hair 3 ways lovelier. Fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen, softly manageable even in hardest water. Luster Cream lathers instantly. No special rinse needed, so gentle. Luster Cream is wonderful even for children's hair. Tonight, try Luster Cream shampoo.
Dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream girl.
This Christmas, give yourself and your family the gift that keeps on giving. United States Savings Bonds, the present with a future. Start preparing now for those things you know you're going to want and need in the future. Invest today in your own economic security and the security of your country. Buy United States savings bonds.
Next week, tune in again for Our Miss Brooks, brought to you by Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair, and the Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. Here's good shaving news. 3 men out of every 4 can get more comfortable, smoother shaves with Palmolive Brushless Shaving Cream. No matter how they shaved before, 3 men out of every 4 got more comfortable, smoother shaves with Palmolive Brushless Shaving Cream. See if you don't get more comfortable, smoother shaves the proven Palmolive Brushless way. For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North, the exciting, fun-packed adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evening over most of these same stations. Then be with us again next week for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Oh, that show had me shaking like a bowl full of jelly. Better cut down on the cookies. I'll start tomorrow. Speaking of cookies, I wonder what's coming up next.
Now, here are Don Ameche and Francis Langford as John and Blanche Bickerson in The Honeymoon Is Over. It's Christmas Eve, and the Bickersons have not retired. Mrs. Bickerson is busy wrapping presents in the bedroom, while husband John, exhausted from the pre-holiday activity, puts the finishing touches on the tree, which stands proudly in the kitchen, the only other room in the Bickersons' small apartment. Listen.
John? John? Will you bring the scissors, please? John? Oh, what is he doing in there? Oh, no. How can a man fall asleep on a ladder? Oh, I haven't got the heart to wake him. John? John!
Whoa! What's the matter, Blanche? What happened, huh?
Oh, you poor dear. Did you hurt yourself?
No, I'm all right. How did I fall off that ladder? I must have fainted.
Yes, dear. You were snoring like a log when I came in. Why, John?
What?
You never even touched your dinner. Not a morsel.
I don't like the looks of it, Blanche.
Oh, stop that talk. It's perfectly good food. You let it sit there for hours getting cold. You want me to warm it up for you?
No. Just tell me what's on that big plate.
Are you trying to be funny, John?
I'm not trying to be funny, Blanche. What is it?
You know very well I can only cook 2 things, liver and rice pudding.
Well, which one is that?
How can you be so nasty on Christmas Eve, John?
I just asked you a civil question, that's all. I didn't think it was liver because your liver always looks like rubber heels. That stuff looks more like scrambled eggs. I thought it might be rice pudding.
Why don't you taste it and find out?
I'm not hungry.
Well, that's why you're always tired, John. You don't eat enough.
I eat plenty.
Well, what did you have for lunch today?
Well, you ought to know. You packed it for me. Listen, Blanche, I'm getting sick of carrying my lunch to the office in paper sacks. Why can't I go to a restaurant like the other fellows?
John, what are you talking about? I haven't fixed your lunch for 2 years.
Oh, Blanche, every morning of my life, I find my lunch wrapped in brown paper on the side of the sink.
Lunch? That's the kitchen scraps.
How do you like that? No wonder I never have an appetite. Why do you do that to me, Blanche?
Oh, go on. Eat some dinner and finish trimming the tree.
I don't want any dinner. I want to go to sleep.
Aren't you going to finish the tree?
I can do it in the morning.
But, John, tomorrow is Christmas Day. I expect a lot of people to drop in. The butcher's coming and the milkman and probably...
Listen, Blanche. I can't afford to give those guys presents. Why did you invite them over?
I didn't invite them. They're coming here to collect their bills.
Bills? What bills? I gave you money for the bills.
Well, I had to buy presents, didn't I? My sister Clara sent me a package, and I had to get her something in return.
No, you didn't. Nobody asked her to send you anything.
Well, she did just the same. So I bought her a bottle of perfume.
How much was that?
$24.
$24? Why, nobody can carry that much perfume.
It was only 1 ounce, silly. It's the latest perfume. Very daring. It's called Perhaps.
Perhaps. For $24, you should get positively.
Don't be so crabby, John. We're not going to fight on Christmas Eve, no matter what happens. Remember, you promised.
Okay.
I'm not even going to get mad because you didn't send me a Christmas card.
I did send you a Christmas card.
It isn't necessary to make excuses or alibis, John. I'm going to forget it entirely.
I don't have to make excuses. I did send you a Christmas card. I mailed it 5 days ago.
John, you promised you wouldn't shout.
Well, then why are you goading me like this? You know I wouldn't say I sent you a Christmas card unless I had.
I never received it.
Well, then it got lost in the mail.
That's possible.
Thank heaven.
All the other cards came.
That doesn't mean anything. One card can get lost, can't it?
If you sent it.
I did send it. I swear I sent it. Had a wonderful poem on it. A beautiful picture. It was trimmed with lace. Cost me a buck.
All right, John.
Well, do you believe me?
Let's not discuss it anymore.
Okay.
But I hope you don't forget to send one next year.
Ugh. What's the use? All right, so I didn't send you a card.
Well, that's all. Why didn't you admit it before?
There was nothing to admit. I just said I didn't send it to end the argument, but I really sent it.
Well, what did it say?
It said, Merry Christmas to my love.
Well, that could be anybody.
Oh, let me finish. It said, Merry Christmas to my love, my wife, my turtle dove. Life with you is great, it seems. I love you more than pork and beans.
Oh, you're only adding insult to injury, John.
Well, how do I know what it said? I can't remember what... What's that laying on top of the newspaper? There it is. There's my card.
So it is, see? You didn't have to get so excited after all. Thank you, darling. It's a lovely card.
Wear it in good health. Well, let's open the presents and then go to sleep.
Well, how could you, John? You know we never open presents until Christmas morning. You haven't even finished trimming the tree.
All it needs is a string of lights. One of the bulbs is blown. That kills the whole string.
Can't you buy a bulb?
The stores aren't open. What time is it anyway?
It's 12:05.
Well, that's good. It's Christmas Day. Let's open the presents.
You didn't even hang up your stocking.
I haven't got one that would hold anything. They look like lace curtains. Come on, let's open the presents, Blanche. Come on, huh?
Oh, all right.
Say, we haven't got very many this year, have we? Oh, who's this from?
That's from Leo Gooseby. It's amazing how you went straight to the one shaped like a bottle.
Oh, is that what it is? I hope it's good stuff. Ah, that's not bad at all.
John, that's shampoo!
Shampoo? Oh, why that chiseler? Tube-it, Leo. What do I want with a bottle of shampoo? And to think I threw out 39 cents on a tie for him. What have you got there?
It's another present for you. From your boss.
No kidding. Gee, that's a big one. What is it, Blanche?
A 5-gallon can of lighter fluid?
Well, that's fine. That's just what I need. I don't even own a lighter.
Well, don't feel too bad, John. Maybe you can exchange it for something else.
Last year, he sent me a bowling ball case. Must get these things in a rummage sale. I never heard of such presents.
Oh, here's one for me, from Louise Shaw.
Phew, bet that's a dilly.
Oh, Louise always sends something nice. Not expensive, but it usually comes in handy. Well, look at that.
What is it?
It's a polo score pad. Isn't that nice?
That'll sure come in handy. Honest, Blanche, you've got the weirdest collection of friends. Is there anything else?
Just our presents to each other. Why don't you look at what I got you first? Then you can show me what you got for me. Close your eyes. I'll unveil it.
Well, all right. I hope you didn't spend too much, dear. I don't really want anything.
Open your eyes.
Blanche. Oh, Blanche, darling, that's beautiful. That's a dream. A portable bar with a brass rail?
Don't you think a kiss is in order, John?
No, a million kisses.
Oh, stop kissing the bar! I meant a kiss for me!
No, I'm sorry, darling. It's just too good to be true. Oh, you're wonderful. Blanche, that must have cost a fortune.
Well, John, don't get angry, but I sold my fur coat.
You sold your fur coat?
I wanted you to have the bar, and I didn't have the money.
You sold your coat? That beautiful fur coat that you bought yourself for my birthday? That gorgeous bald mink?
I got $75 for it. The bar cost $85.
Aw, Blanche, you never should have sold that bald mink.
Well, it doesn't matter. I have a cloth coat. I never get cold.
Yeah, but you don't understand. Open the present I got for you.
Oh, I can't wait, John. Oh, a muff! A fur muff!
Genuine plucked skunk. I had it made special to match that coat. It can hold 2 full quarts. And you sold the coat.
Well, what's the difference, darling? Someday you'll make a lot of money, and then you'll be able to get a coat that'll match the muff. I'm very happy, John.
I know, but...
And you still have that gorgeous bar?
That's just it.
What's the matter?
I sold all my bourbon to pay for the muff. That's great, isn't it? What a break for both of us.
I think it's wonderful, John.
What do you mean, Blanche?
I've never been so happy in my life. We've both made a sacrifice, and that's worth more than all the gold and precious jewels in the world. Just to know you gave up a prized possession is proof enough that you love me.
I've always loved you, Blanche. I may holler and rant and act like a first-class crumb sometimes, but you never doubted that I loved you, did you?
No, John.
It's been 7 years, honey, most of it uphill. I haven't showered you with diamonds or bought any yachts, but I try not to deny you anything. I suppose you have your little faults. What woman hasn't? Or what man, for that matter? We're both pretty sensitive people. Maybe that's why we beef so much. Still, I don't think we're any worse than any other married couple. At least we have a safety valve. We can let off steam. Others just carry it inside until the break comes. No, Blanche, I like it this way, and I love you more than anything on earth.
Oh, John!
Oh, hey, cut it out. I'll prove how much I love you. Where is that liver or rice pudding or whatever it is you made?
It's liver.
I'll eat every bit of it if it kills me. Let's go.
Merry Christmas, darling.
Merry Christmas.
I don't know why Blanche and John can't get their act together. Seems like they're always bickering. I just don't understand, especially at Christmas. Oh, well, maybe there's something that I can relax with for the next few minutes.
Jimmy, turn that radio off and go to sleep.
Aw, Mom, you know I can't sleep without the radio playing.
Go to sleep, Jimmy. I'll turn the radio off later.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Jello, everybody.
Yes, it's the new gay family series starring Lucille Ball, brought to you by the Jell-O family of desserts.
Jell-O, oh, the big red letters stand for Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum,
Jell-O
pudding.
Yum, 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 Jell-O pudding. Tapioca pudding, yes, sirree.
And now, Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. As we look on the Coopers, it's morning and there are 7 shopping days left until Christmas. George is eating breakfast. Liz is in the kitchen with Katie, the maid.
Katie?
Yes, Mrs. Cooper?
Have you any idea what George is going to get me for Christmas? Has he said anything?
Not a thing.
Oh, darn. I've got to find out.
Why?
I'm knitting him a sweater. And if he's getting me something wonderful, maybe a measly sweater isn't enough for him. On the other hand, if he's giving me some dinky little thing, why should I knock myself out knitting him a beautiful sweater?
Why, Mrs. Cooper.
Oh, Katie, you don't think I'm serious. It's the thought that counts. It doesn't make me any difference what kind of fur coat George gives me.
Well, I wish I could help you.
Don't worry. I'll find out before he leaves that breakfast table. Here, give me the coffee. I'll take it in. Jingle bells, dee 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 dee. Good morning, dear.
Good morning, Katie.
What?
Oh, I was reading. Good morning, Liz, darling.
Is there anything I can do for my sweet little ever-loving baby boy?
Yes.
Hmm.
Stop trying to find out what I'm giving you for Christmas.
Oh, you. Come on, George. Iris knows what she's getting. Mr. Atterbury's giving her a mink stole for Christmas.
How does she know?
She already picked it out and charged it to him.
That's a pretty good clue.
Are you buying me a mink stole?
If I bought you mink, it would have to be stole.
I made it funny.
But it wasn't very. Oh, well. If you won't tell me what I'm getting, at least you could give me a hint.
Oh, all right. It's big.
Yes?
And it's small.
Huh?
It also has long, shaggy hair and three wheels, takes outing spots, and runs 8 days without winding.
That's what your mother gave us last Christmas.
It is not. Say, we never did find out what that was for, did we?
Oh, come on, George. Tell me what I'm getting.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I bought it. It's in the hall closet, and I want you to stay out of there. Understand?
Understand.
All right. Kiss me goodbye, honey. I'm late for the bank.
Okay.
Mrs. Cooper, Mrs. Cooper, why are you standing there staring at the hall closet?
George told me my present was in the hall closet. Then he made me promise to leave it alone. Only a man would think of a mean thing like that.
What are you going to do about it?
Absolutely nothing.
Then what?
Katie, you won't find me stooping to snooping.
I'm sure I won't.
Of course, if there happened to be something in there I needed, I'd have to look in the closet, wouldn't I? Huh?
Yes, ma'am.
What's in there that I might need?
Well, there's your umbrella, but the sun is shining.
How do you like that, Katie? Suddenly, it looks like rain.
It has seemed to cloud up a little, hasn't it?
Oh, there's my umbrella in back of this big Christmas box. Look, there's a little tear in the paper.
Where?
There. Oh, clumsy me. Well, now it's open. There's no use turning back. Oh, I'm so excited. Katie, I hope it's that dress I've been hinting about from Miller's department store. It's empty. There's nothing in this box.
Yes, there is. At the bottom. It's a card.
Oh, yeah. Let me see what it says. Well, I like that.
What's it say?
It says, I thought I told you to stay out of here, nosy. Well, that settles it. He's going to get a sweater and like it. Purl one, knit two, purl one, knit two. Oops, I dropped a stitch. Oh, dear. Well, I can save it if I just put my needle through this. Oops, there goes another. Oh, well, I was going to do that row over anyway. Darn it, this is slow work.
Are you having trouble, Mrs. Cooper?
Oh, I'm having an awful time with this sweater I'm knitting for George.
Is that a sweater?
What does it look like?
That's a very good question.
Oh, I know it's a mess, Katie. I can't understand it. I followed the directions exactly.
Let's see. What's this thing sticking out up here? It looks like a sock.
It is.
It is?
Certainly. The direction said purl 3 inches and then knit a foot.
Oh, Mrs. Cooper, it didn't mean that.
I thought it seemed odd. I thought maybe I was knitting socks to match the sweater and I could cut them loose later.
I see. Well, the rest of it is... Wait, what's this hole for?
That's a neck.
Oh. Then what's this hole next to it for?
Oh, how do you like that? I left 2 openings for his head.
Mrs. Cooper, you better rip it out and start over.
No, it's a shame to waste all that work. I ought to give it to someone. Do you know anyone with 2 heads, Katie?
Not offhand.
I know. I'll knit a belt on the other end, and they can use it for pants.
No.
Oh, I'm not good for anything. I wish I could knit like George's mother. She doesn't even look at it, and it comes out perfectly.
Oh, that reminds me, Mrs. Cooper. Mr. Cooper's mother called and said she was coming over this morning.
Oh, Keen. Wonder what Nosy Rosie wants.
She didn't say. Maybe she's just coming over to visit.
Ha! Mother Cooper never comes over just to visit. She wants to see what I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing, what I'm not doing that I should be doing, and what I'm doing that if she were doing it, she'd do it a lot better.
Oh, Mrs. Cooper isn't that bad.
Let's face it, Katie. She only lives to see how badly I keep house. An unmade bit is like a transfusion to her. It gives her strength to run her finger along a table to see if there's any dust on it.
She won't find any dust in this house.
Oh, you dreamer. You know you can't win, Katie. Sometimes I think she's got dirt tattooed on the end of her finger.
Why did she ever move to town?
I don't know, but brooding about it isn't going to get this sweater finished. I guess I'll have to rip most of it out.
You'll never finish it by Christmas.
George will understand. I'll give him what I've done and tell him I'll finish it later.
Yes, ma'am.
Yoo-hoo! Anybody home?
There she blows.
Mr. Cooper's mother?
Who else walks in without ringing the bell? She knows if she rang it, I'd pretend not to be at home. The old, in here, mother.
I'll sneak upstairs and make the bed in case she goes up there.
Oh, there you are, Elizabeth. How are you, dear?
Fine, Mother Cooper. How are you?
Well, here's a sight I thought I'd never see. Elizabeth Cooper dusting.
I'm not dusting.
Oh, then why are you holding that dirty old dust rag?
It's a sweater I'm knitting.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I didn't look very closely. Whose dog is it for?
Yours.
What?
It happens to be for George.
For George? I could die. I'm sorry, Elizabeth. I've hurt your feelings.
How could you tell? Well, come on in, Mother. Pull up a dust ball and sit down.
Elizabeth, I came over here to talk to you about something.
Yes?
You remember you invited me to spend Christmas with you? Well, I'm afraid I have some bad news for you.
Oh?
Aunt Bessie wrote and told me she's going to be all alone for Christmas. So I thought I should go there and spend it with her. Don't you?
Yes. What was the bad news? Oh, I see what you mean. Well, gee, I don't know. It means quite a change in our plans.
Well, then if it's going to cause a problem...
But anything for dear old Aunt Bessie.
Yes, the poor soul was wondering if you and George would mind giving me up just this one Christmas.
Only one, huh? Well, I'll force myself. Go to poor old Aunt Bessie.
Then it's all settled. I'll go right home and write Aunt Bessie. And Elizabeth?
Yes?
If I may make a suggestion, dear. I wouldn't bother finishing that sweater if I were you.
Oh, you wouldn't?
Now, please, Elizabeth, it's no disgrace not to be able to knit. You have other talents.
I have?
You must have. I mean, some wives can knit, some can cook, some are beautiful, some are intelligent, and you're... Well, I have to run along.
Are you driving, or shall I call the Yellow Broomstick Company?
Oh, Elizabeth, you're so sensitive. If I've said anything, it's only for your own good. My goodness, if I can't make a suggestion, what am I here for?
Oh, you're beginning to wonder that, too.
I'm only trying to help, dear. I don't want you to be embarrassed. You see, I knitted George a beautiful cashmere sweater. I don't want you to suffer through any comparisons. Well, goodbye, dear.
What are you running your finger around the table for? Forget where you parked your gum?
Would you look at my finger? It's just black with dust.
There's only one thing for you to do.
Talk to Katie.
Wash your hands.
That doesn't make your house any cleaner, dear. Goodbye. Don't bother coming to the door.
Oh, Katie.
What's the matter, Mrs. Cooper?
She's knitted George's sweater for Christmas.
No.
So I have to finish mine. It has to be better than hers. Get me that knitting. Knit one, purl two, knit one, purl two, knit one, purl two. Oops.
Well, it's dollars to a dish of Jell-O that Liz will have a tough time getting out of that spot. But look, here's a holiday treat for your family. It's Christmassy jellied minced meat made with rich red cherry Jell-O. Just prepare cherry Jell-O as usual. Then, when slightly thickened, fold in 1 cup of moist minced meat. Chill until firm in individual molds and garnish with rum-flavored sweetened whipped cream. Good? Why, it's the zestiest holiday dessert that ever made Christmas merry. sparkling red cherry jello, luscious with tempting mince meat. All six delicious jello flavors fit right into the holiday mood: strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime, rich with locked-in goodness. Bright and gay as a Christmas tree. Look for those big red letters on the box. They spell J-E-L-L-O, a registered trademark of the General Foods Corporation.
J-E-L-L-O.
And now, back to the Coopers. Liz is busily working on the sweater for George. She is bound to finish by Christmas time.
Knit one, purl two. Knit one, purl two, knit one.
Mrs. Cooper?
Purl two.
Are you still up, Mrs. Cooper? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. How's it coming?
I don't know. I haven't been able to see for the last 2 hours. It feels all right.
Let me take a look. Well, you've licked the neck problem. Only one neck hole.
Goody.
What's this thing?
Huh? Oh, that's a sleeve.
Oh, and what's this one?
That's the other sleeve.
Mrs. Cooper?
Yes.
What's this one?
Oh, no, 3 sleeves. Katie, do you know anybody with 3? Here I go again, Liz the Ripper. I'm losing ground, Katie. By Christmas, I'll owe this sweater 3 balls of yarn.
Coffee, Mr. Cooper?
No, thanks. I'm late now. Tell Liz goodbye for me, will ya? Oh, here's Sleeping Beauty now.
Morning, Mrs. Cooper.
Oh. Morning, Liz.
Oh.
Open your eyes, dear.
They are open.
Maybe some food will help you. Try this.
No, thank you. I don't like tomato juice.
That's not tomato juice. It's milk.
Then why is it red?
It isn't. That's the glow from your eyes.
Ew.
What were you doing last night, Liz?
Oh, just working in Santa's sweatshop.
Making something for me?
No.
Oh, come on. What is it? Give me a hint.
Now look who wants a hint. All right, I'll give you a hint. It's the same kind you gave me. It's got 3 arms, 2 necks, and a foot sticking out of its back.
Liz! You're knitting me a sweater!
What?
That was a pretty wild guess, wasn't it? Imagine you knitting a sweater.
Katie, hand me a knife and tell me where he is.
Well, I've got to run, dear. Goodbye.
Oh, I thought he knew for a minute.
Oh, he thinks he's so smart. That's another reason I have to finish the sweater. Will you get me my knitting, Katie? It's in the hall closet.
All right, but I think you should give your eyes a rest.
I can't. I've got to finish.
Mrs. Cooper, did you rewrap that box and put it back in the closet?
No. Why?
There's another one in here.
Let me see it. How do you like that? I didn't even see it. It must be my present. Open it, Katie.
Me?
Yes. Then when George asks if I open it, I won't be lying when I say no. Oh, it's from Miller's. I hope it's... It is, Katie. It's the dress, but it's red.
Bright red.
Oh, that man. What was he thinking? I can't wear this dress with my hair. If I put it on, I'll look like an Ungantine ad.
Well, you can get it exchanged for another one after Christmas.
No, I can't. They only had 1 green one my size. Katie, I'm going down to exchange it right now.
But what will Mr. Cooper say when you open the box on Christmas and the dress is green?
I'll tell him the color ran. So long, Katie. Knit one, purl two, knit one, purl two.
Yes, ma'am, you're next.
Just a minute till I finish this row. Knit one, purl two, knit one, there. Finished.
When you got that sweater finished, are you going to try to exchange it?
No. No, I'd like to exchange a Christmas present.
I beg your pardon?
I'd like to exchange a Christmas present.
Aren't you a little late for last year?
It's this year's Christmas present.
Oh, well, in that case... Oh, what day is it?
The 20th.
Oh, phew. For a minute, I thought I'd overslept.
I just happened to receive this present a little early.
Oh, we've been snooping, haven't we?
Never mind. I'd like to exchange it for a dress that's the right color with my hair.
I don't think we have one that shade. Why don't you take a black one and give it a henna rinse?
Oh, I bet you'll scream when you get your chicken inspector badge. Will you exchange this dress or not?
Well, I'll exchange it on one condition, that you return my telephone cord.
What would I be doing with your telephone cord?
I don't know, but you've got it knitted into your sweater.
I'm back, Katie.
Did you exchange it?
Yes, I got the most beautiful Kelly green dress you've ever seen. I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Liz. I just talked to Mother. She's leaving a day earlier than she planned.
Oh, how wonderful for Aunt Bessie.
I'm going to bring her by the house to pick up her Christmas present, so you better have it ready.
Okay, where is it?
I put it in the hall closet.
You did what?
I put it in the hall closet. It's a big box for Millers.
Millers?
Yeah, we'll be there in about an hour, honey. Goodbye.
Wait a minute, George. Oh, Katie, I exchanged the wrong present. That dress was for Mother Cooper.
No.
Yes, and they'll be here in an hour. I have to rush down and exchange it again.
Wait a minute. Why not let her take the new one?
Oh, no, she can't stand green. It clashes with her complexion. I'll see you in an hour, I hope. Pardon me.
Yes, madam, you're next. What can I do for you?
I'd like to exchange something, please.
Oh, what goody have we poked our nose into this time?
Now look, I'm in a hurry. I want to exchange this dress.
Didn't you just exchange a red dress exactly like this?
Yes, I'd like the red one back in exchange for this green one.
Don't tell me. Let me guess. You've hired yourself out as a stop signal.
Please, I don't have time to explain.
Won't it still clash with your hair?
No.
Ooh, I get it. You're going to dye your hair green.
No.
You're going to shave your head?
All right, I'm going to shave my head and paint it green. Now, may I have the exchange slip?
Certainly. Here. And miss?
What?
Will you bring your head in and let me see it?
I made it.
Did you get the red dress back?
It's safe in this box. Are they here yet, Katie?
Yes, Mr. Cooper and his mother just came in the front door. I told them you were upstairs. And Mrs. Cooper?
Yeah?
I worked on the sweater while you were gone. There's only one row left to do.
Oh, Katie.
I put it back in the desk drawer.
Oh, you're a darling. I'd better get back in there and give Mother Cooper her present.
Oh, isn't that great?
Hello, Mother Cooper.
Elizabeth.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, honey. Well, Mother, here's your present.
Thank you, dear.
Wait a minute, Liz. You made a mistake.
What?
That's not Mother's present.
It isn't?
No, that's yours.
No, no, no.
It's nothing to get excited about.
No?
I'll get Mother's present. It's up on the shelf in the closet.
What are you looking so glum about, dear? It's Christmas time. Be gay and happy. Jingle bells.
Oh, go jingle your own bells.
How's the sweater coming, dear? Or did you give it up?
No, I didn't give it up. It's right here in the desk drawer. Would you care to see it?
Yes. You bought this.
No, I didn't. It isn't even finished yet. See?
Your cab is here, Mother. Come on.
Coming, baby. Elizabeth, let me see how you finish that nap. Yes, wonderful. Well, let's go.
You just have time to get to the station. Here's your present.
Thank you both, you dear children.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. See you after the holidays.
Goodbye, Mother. Oh!
What's the matter?
Oh, there's something cutting my ankle. Huh, it's a piece of yarn.
Yarn?
Yeah. It goes all the way down the steps, down the walk, and into the cab with Mother.
Put your foot on it, George. Break it. I never should have let her near it.
I wonder where it comes from. It goes right into the door and along the hall and then
into the living room and across. across the carpet and up by the desk.
Liz, you are knitting me a sweater? Isn't it wonderful? You have 2 inches finished already.
You've been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball, based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rorick. Watch for Lucille Ball in the Columbia Pictures' Miss Grant Takes Richmond. And be sure to listen to My Favorite Husband next week, presented by...
J-E-L-L-O, big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca puddings, yes, sirree.
Ho, 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 ho. I haven't laughed that hard since last year's reindeer games. Well, just about time to get back to the sleigh and finish up my run. Maybe one or two more cookies for the road. There we go. And we're off. Break's over, Rudolph. Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Tonight's production of On the Air Radio Players was directed by Bob Dutton. Our production manager was Phil Ivanhoe. Music was provided by Logan Vime, and our sound engineer was Devin Langston. Additional material was written by Bob Dutton and Jack Mooney. The voice actors and sound effect artists in tonight's show were Albert Allen, Sandra Clayton, Carol Donahue, Shane Harris, Grace LaRose, Joe LaMonaco, Georgia Marie Rice, Morgan Riley, Dan Sumney, and Kate Weirs. On the Air Radio Players is sponsored by the County of Henrico Division of Recreation and Parks. Join us here at the Cultural Arts Center at Glen Allen in March 2016 for our next live radio show, When Westerns Were King. For On the Air Radio Players, this is Sandra Clayton saying good night and happy listening.